nothing yet. Okay, chapter 10. Chapter 10, the answer to Daniel's prayers. We saw one answer already, right? We saw an explanation for what the 70 and 420 is. But now we get a separate answer, and we're going to start on it now. We'll get as far as we can get. But the truth of the matter is chapter 10 moves a lot faster than chapter 9. So we should get some stuff done here. What may be the most notable aspect of chapter 10 is the angels. We're going to see man's attempt to relate to angels. We're going to see angels representing the nations. We're going to see angels having power over the nation they represent. So this is going to be fun. Before we do that, though, well, no, let's read the opening words, and then I'll do my before. The Bishnas Shalosh Lechoresh Melech Paras, year 3 of Cyrus the Persian. Okay? That's where we're pausing. Year 3 of Cyrus the Persian. Cyrus the Persian is the one who permits us to go back to Israel and start building. Right? He says Nehemiah can go back and build up the walls of the city and so on. Where is Daniel at this point? So Ralbag thinks Daniel made Aliyah. Daniel went to Yerushalayim. Why not? Why wouldn't he go? Everybody else has been given license to go, so he goes. Right, so we've already seen Abarbanel's view that Daniel retired to Shushan. And certainly he's got to be in his 80s minimum, just based on the chronology that we've been given so far. But take a look at an interesting comment in source number 8. It's particularly interesting for those who remember Zechariah. Right? Zechariah was last year, so you're not required to remember it. But remember there that we saw that the Jews who lived outside of Israel, who lived in Babel, sent a message. I think it was in Perek Hey, it was chapter 5, sent a message to the Jews at the Beit HaMikdash asking, should we still cry in the fifth month? Right? It was either chapter 5 or chapter 8. Should we still cry in the fifth month? Because, is the temple being rebuilt a sign of that our fasting is over? Or is it not a sign? And Abarbanel was very harsh about the Jews who remained in Galut, about the Jews who remained in exile. As was Radak, as was Malbim, all of them. We saw it when we did Haggai also. But take a look at source number 8, where Abarbanel betrays a completely different perspective. He says, "V'ein safek etzli shlo nimnad Daniel la'alos li Yerushalayim, meyos einav v'libo sham kol hayamim, umispalel ha'pekidat tamid." He says, I have no doubt Daniel would never have declined to go. His eyes were there, his heart was there at all times. He davened continually for the Jews to be answered. So what's going on? How is he living in Shushan? Once he knew that the redemption would not be complete, because he was told in the previous chapter that the second temple is temporary, and that a great exile is coming, he says, so what shall I make aliyah for? There were many Jews who did that, great and mighty communities, who said, well, this isn't it, so we're not going. And so that's what he says, not as an incrimination of Daniel. He seems to take it as, this is normal, that's what Daniel did. That Daniel, having learned that the second Beis HaMikdash is not going to be a complete rebuilding, but instead is doomed to be part of the process of atoning for the sins of the first temple, he says, okay, then I'll stay in Shushan. Really a remarkable thing requiring some examination. Okay, now let's see the opening of this parak, of this chapter here. Bishnas Shalosh Lechoresh Melech Paras, in the third year of Cyrus the Persian, Davar Niglal Daniel, a word was revealed to Daniel. Like we saw in Parak Tet, the word Davar indicates a verbal message, as opposed to his other visions, which have been a Mar'eh, Chazon, Chalom. This is a dialogue. But it appears to... Right? Exactly. Aseret HaDvarim, or Divrot, depending on what you're reading. Yes. So this Davar, Niglal Daniel, is revealed to Daniel, Asher Nikra Shemo Belshazzar. In case you forgot, he was known as Belshazzar. Why are we mentioning this here? So Abarbanel suggests that the style is meant to make this third person. It's a passage introducing the prophecy. It's not part of the prophecy. So it's like somebody else is speaking and saying, this is what happened to Daniel, known as Belshazzar.
Is there any connection between that and the king Belshazzar?
Right, so we said that there might be, because Baal was the name that they gave to their god, and Daniel is nicknamed that by Nebuchadnezzar, you know, with this Baal reference. So yes, there's definitely the possibility. So it's revealed to Daniel, Ve'emes hadavar, and it was true. The reason why it has to say, according to Arnell, the reason why it has to say the message is true is because what's coming is going to be really strange. Now, that's coming on the heels of weird creatures with horns and teeth like iron and visions of 70 weeks and 62 weeks and whatever else. So you know that if Abarbanel says what's coming is strange, we're in trouble. Vitzava gadol. Now, tzava usually means forces, armies, masses of some kind, but here Abarbanel says tzava means time, that it's going to play out over a long period of time. Uvin es hadavar, uvin alo bamar'eh. This was something for Daniel to understand. It was something for him to understand and for him to be made to understand in his vision. Okay, so what is this? Bayamim ha'heim, in those days, ani Daniel ha'isi mis'abel shlosha shavu'im yamim. I was mourning for 3 weeks of days. Before you get it into your head that this means 21 years that he's in mourning, there is one commentary, I think it's even Rashi, that suggests the possibility, and you'll see why that's an appealing possibility in a moment. But he says, we now have Daniel speaking first person, I was mourning for 3 weeks. Lechem chamudos, there's that word, lo achalti, I did not eat precious beloved bread, ubasar ve'ayin lo ba'al pi, I did not eat meat, I did not drink wine, v'soch lo sachti, I did not anoint my skin with oil, ad melos shloshes shavu'im yamim, until 3 weeks of days were complete. So some take this as a fast. Lechem chamudos means bread that people enjoy, but that means he's not eating any bread. No bread, no meat, no wine. It looks like Yom Kippur. No anointing skin with oil, right? He's completely refraining from pleasure. So that's the 3 weeks view. The other view is that he's just saying, I didn't engage in luxuries. For 21 years, I didn't indulge. But Abarbanel says it has to be 3 weeks because he says that's the point of emphasizing that it's the third year of Cyrus. Because the third year of Cyrus is when the rebuilding is halted. And he says what Daniel is now mourning for, he has nothing to mourn for anymore. He's already found out what's going to happen. Daniel is mourning because the construction of the second temple, however inferior it is to the first, has been halted. And so Daniel turns to God in prayer and fasting, and after 3 weeks, as we're going to see, he will receive an answer, and that will be in Pasuk Dalet, which we will continue with, God willing. Next time.
When did Daniel stop being a vegetarian?
Well, apparently he's back on the wagon. But that's an interesting point. I think probably when he was able to eat on his own. He's no longer in the king's court. He had been forced to eat that food, and now he didn't want to. But now he can choose his own diet. So he's back on the burgers, yeah. All right.